If you're saying that it all happens on the back nine at the Masters, Vossie, well, Scotty Scheffler's just, I would say, we were talking rugby league terms last week, weren't we? And this one from Corey Parker. Scheffler is biting down on the mouth guard coming into the back nine at the Masters. He's nine under the card. Ludvig Åberg is five under, just had a double bogey. So Max Homer's the only one, I think, in with a shot to challenge Scheffler. Homer is at seven under the card as well. Morikawa still hasn't improved on his five under after double bogeying nine. So Scheffler and Morikawa are the last group. They're through 10. Homer and Åberg through 11.
At 17 after 7, of course, we are a sports network, but the events of Saturday at Bondi Junction has rocked all of us to the core. It could have been any of us. Just a run-of-the-mill Saturday afternoon shopping at one of the biggest Westfield complexes in Sydney at Bondi Junction. Six innocent people lost their life. What we now know is that all of this terrifying attack happened within the space of 25 minutes. News outlets have been busy covering this story from the moment that the terrifying story broke. Robert Avardia from Channel 7, one of the best reporters in the business, has been good enough to give us some time this morning. Robert, thank you for joining us. That is right, isn't it? The police have pieced together from all the video footage of the movements of the killer, Joel Cauchy, that it all happened, was all done in 25 minutes.
Yeah, and the actual reaction from police so much quicker once we're there too, once they were there. So once the reports start coming in, and you have to understand, gentlemen, the bedlam, the chaotic nature of 000 calls to police when they started to get those calls, differing descriptions of what the guy had. The suggestion that there were gunshots. Police believe that they could be dealing with an active shooter. Police believe they could have been dealing with multiple people because there were differing descriptions of Joel Cauchy as he moved from floor to floor at Westfield Bondi Junction too. So in amongst all of that chaos, they have to try to narrow down exactly what it is they're dealing with and who to look for and how to protect people. It was as chaotic as it gets in one of the busiest shopping centres in the country.
And Robert, learning more about the victims, I don't know whether it's good or it's tragic reading the stories about the victims and the randomness of it with and how the killer went through that shopping centre.
Yeah, 100%. And it's because of the random nature of it that lent itself to the possibility that this could be a terror attack a couple of days ago. And right now, police are trying to work out whether the random nature is just coincidental that the vast majority of victims, both injured and killed, were women, or whether that was an ideology from the stabber, Joel Cauchy, or whether they were just soft targets or not. But all of these people have their own stories. You know, Ashley Good, a 38-year-old mother of a nine-month-old, and if that nine-month-old pulls through, one day she'll be told what her mum did for her the day her mum died, and like basically threw her to a couple of strangers while sustaining blows from a knife herself. Dawn Singleton, we heard from friends of her yesterday saying she was the salt of the earth, the 25-year-old daughter of media mogul John Singleton as well, wonderful person. Faraz Tahir came here as a refugee from Pakistan, and he died protecting people and citizens in his adopted country. These stories not only played out over and over here, but they're so relatable because they're all of us. I think, Vossi, you touched on it when you said it could be any one of us because all of us know what that is, just to go down to the shops on a nice Saturday afternoon.
Just on that male security guard, it was written in the Herald this morning that was his first day shift at the centre. He was working his first day shift at the centre. Faraz Tahir, 30 years of age, loses his life. Out of the traumatic and tragic events of Saturday, there are heroes. Police Inspector Amy Scott, it is impossible for normal people, people who work normal jobs, if I may use that expression, to understand the task that she was confronted with and the situation she found herself in on Saturday. That's her job.
100%. And, you know, Well, it might well be an underwhelming word to use, but professionalism is the one that comes to mind. I mean, you think of courage in that circumstance, obviously. But what Detective Inspector Amy Scott did was absolutely by the book training. You know, her pulse would have been significantly lower than yours or mine rushing into a situation like that. Her training would have kicked in, and it would have been thinking her way through the situation. And the remarkable pictures of her in the immediate aftermath, having shot Joel Cauchy, then looking around, starting CPR on him, securing the weapon, all of those things that they teach you at the academy that you ought to do, she did. And she did it calmly, and she did it proficiently too. So the professionalism of New South Wales Police, I mean, God knows police get bashed around a lot of the time because their job is so public, and we place so much power in their hands to do the right thing. Sometimes they don't. Yesterday was just a couple of days ago was just the perfect example of how when they do all the right things, they are there to protect us, and they can do it so admirably.
And Robert, what can people expect to be happening around Bondi Junction, Westfield, and I guess Bondi Junction in general over the next few days?
Well, there was a large queue of people just to get their cars last night. So there has to be, despite the fact that it's a crime scene, a degree of practicality there where people have to be taken care of if their cars are in their businesses, etc. But it's not a matter for police of thinking, yeah, we got the guy, we know who it is, everybody knows who it is, case solved. Everything here has to be investigated meticulously, especially given the fact that there's been a police shooting here. This is called a critical incident where police investigate the actions of police too. So everything has to be done absolutely meticulously. And we're talking about several floors of a major shopping centre here. So they will be still looking for CCTV. They'll be doing forensic stuff. There will be the macabre task as well before the shopping centre reopens of cleaning it. Given the awful events of a couple of days too. So that is likely to take certainly a couple of days, but I think in parts of the shopping centre might be slowly reopened.
Channel 7's Robert Avadia, our special guest. One last one, of course, and it is in relation to the killer, Joel Cauchy, as they piece together the rather complex background of this individual. What more have you learnt and we've all learnt over the last 24 hours?
He had a fascination with knives. He searched for people who could show him how to fire a gun a couple of years ago. Now that is not necessarily suggesting anything leading up to this, but it sends a bit of a chill thinking, what if this guy had access to guns as well, given what he did yesterday? I can tell you his family are very, very decent people. When they gave a statement yesterday, they really acknowledged the actions of Detective Inspector Amy Scott. She killed their son, and they expressed their concern for her welfare and acknowledged that she was only doing her job. They say Joel Cauchy had mental illness problems from the age of 17. He had been diagnosed as a schizophrenic. He moved to Sydney not too long ago, had a storage container with a lot of his stuff, but was basically itinerant. And when you're looking at somebody who is itinerant, who is also mentally ill, there is a very strong suggestion they would not be taking their medication. And, of course, that is a recipe for disaster, and that is exactly what unfolded a couple of days ago.
All right, Robert, and just to finish, while our hearts are broken for those that have already lost their lives, those that are in hospital, including this little baby, this 9-month-old baby having had surgery, those that are in hospital, do we have any update on their condition?
No, I got to say I don't. I don't. But we were told on the very, very first day that three of them were critical. One of those was Ashley Good, and she did pass away from her injuries. Everybody is asking about the 9-month-old baby, including yesterday. And our last update was that the baby was okay. But I can't say with any certainty how critical they are. I suspect, and this is only speculation here, I suspect that the final death toll rests at six.
Yes, up to 18 people stabbed in the incident. Robert, thank you for your time this morning. As I say, we're a sports program, but this story has rocked everyone, not just in the city of Sydney, I think right over Australia. It's headlines right around the world. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Robert Avardia from Channel 7. You can follow all the news, follow up today. And obviously, it's not a story that will be quickly, we can't quickly move on from it. Again, could have been any of us, just a normal Saturday afternoon. And you know, then we talk sport and we make a big deal out of, you know, incidents and all of that. And these poor six people now gone. And yes, people interested, people want to know more, but there has to be a process. There has to be a process. And those in hospital, our thoughts with all of those. And those first responders and medical staff that had to attend to the situation, the whole lot. Just a traumatic and tragic day on Saturday afternoon. Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy at 27 minutes after 7 on a Monday. We will have Cameron Smith coming on the program after 8 o'clock. Michelle Bishop joining the program shortly with plenty of sport to talk about. Brandy's been keeping us abreast of everything that's happening with the Masters. All our Masters updates brought to you by Golf Space, elevate your game. Just recapping, Brandy, so Tiger Woods, it was quite incredible, made the cut.
Yep.
But then he's had a very torrid weekend. In fact, finishes with a 5-over par today and will finish 60th in the 60-man field that makes the cut.
Finished 16-over, Vossie. Yeah, but made the cut, which was incredible. Well done. Cameron Smith and Cam Davis just can't improve, can't get a birdie. But not hitting bogeys either. Cam Smith still at 2-under, which he really began his round at even par. Had a eagle on the second hole, which got him to 2-under. He remains there. He's through 14 holes. Cam Davis through 12 holes, 1-under for day, 1-over today, 1-under. But they sit in positions 7 and 8. So the scores not really improving, but the man that's on top, Scotty Scheffler, at 9-under, 2 clear of Max Homer.
Now, also from the world of football, some drama in a Serie A match between Udinese and Roma. The game had to be abandoned in the 72nd minute. The Roma defender, Nadica, collapsed off the ball and was taken off on a stretcher. Ivory Coast international. He appeared to be conscious as he left the pitch. A statement from Roma says that Nadica had suffered illness on the pitch, but that he was conscious. He just collapsed off the ball, and we've seen that situation before, and heart-related. They're saying the player was transported to hospital for checks. Come on, Evan, we're all with you, the statement added. That's the story from there, from the Serie A competition in Italy. And on the home front, Super Netball kicked off over the weekend, and SEN kicked off its coverage. The Mavericks have played their first game, going down to the Vixens. Gallant in defeat, 68-61. The surprise scoreline from yesterday was New South Wales Swifts were belted, Brandy, by the Lightning, 79-63. We might have to get to the bottom of that, unpack that a little later in the week. Not a good start for the Swifts in the Super Netball. Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, brought to you by Bryden's Lawyers.